Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us as well. We are now joined by William Byron, driver of the number 24 Exalta Chevrolet and the winner of today's Toyota Owners 150 at the virtual Richmond Raceway. William, thank you for joining us again today and talk a little bit about taking home another victory.
Yeah, that was really cool. I appreciate it. Just really, pleased with how it turned out. Definitely the pit call there with about 40 laps to go was a tough one. I didn't really know how that was going to work out, but luckily we were able to have a little bit of buffer to the guys with four tires, and then the late restart just executed that well. So, it was fun. Really enjoyed it. Good to go back to back is really cool. So having fun with it while we're kind of in a hiatus here, but I'm looking forward to get back to the real racing soon too.
Thank you, and we appreciate your time today. And we're going to get to as many questions as we can. In the interest of time, media, please hold your questions to a maximum of two at a given time, and we will now open it up to questions from the media.
We'll hear first from the line of Bob Pockrass. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, William, so far you've seen drivers who are experienced in iRacing win these races. Who do you think is going to be the first one who doesn't have a lot of experience to break through and win?
That's a good question. I think that, what I saw this week was that there was a lot of – everyone was really equal in a short run in terms of speed, like even the guys with a little bit less experience. I think the more experience is just running those longer runs and kind of knowing how the tires wear and stuff like that. So I think Kyle Busch is the obvious choice. I mean, he's run in the practice race that I did. He ran third, and then he ran fifth today. So I think his talent and ability to kind of understand the cars is coming through. I thought Brad Keselowski was really impressive recently. I think he was running third at one point in this race. It's just little details here and there that make a difference, and everyone's really close now. So I'd say the top five or seven could all win, I think soon. So I'd say those two guys, Brad and Kyle.
All right. And watching today, a lot of decisions on two tires, four tires, and on tire wear got me thinking about when you get back to racing in actual cars, and especially if there's no practice or very limited practice, how difficult are those decisions going to be?
Yeah, it's going to be really difficult. I think that's a great question. I think there's going to be a lot of difficulty to know what the fall off will be in a run, and track position is going to matter and be indicative of what that strategy call is. I mean, really, we made our decisions on staying out there based on our practice speed and what we anticipated the tires going through a heat cycle and taking back off. And if I had one more restart, I think that next heat cycle on my tires there would have been really bad for me. So it's the same thing in real life. I think that's, pretty cool how iRacing simulated the heat in the tires and stuff like that, which you saw in qualifying. It was a big deal to get heat in your tires and stuff. So I think and once we get back to real racing, I think it's going to be difficult to make those strategy calls. It's going to really come down to instinct on that.
Thank you.
Yep.
Next, we'll hear from NBC Sports and Dustin Long. Please go ahead, Dustin.
Thank you. Hey, William, obviously things seem to change almost daily, but there's certainly been a lot more talk lately from the president and other politicians about having sports return. How much is it starting to be a little bit more of a light at the end of the tunnel potentially? Understanding that still things could change, and what kind of concerns or questions might you have whenever the sport came back and how it handled things?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear. I think just my personality is one that I just like to know concrete evidence of when we are going to go back or not. So it's tough for me to hear potential, when it is and when not. And honestly, I just try to tune it out a little bit just because I don't know concretely when it's going to be, but I think it's going to be soon rather than later, and I'm excited about that. I think honestly I've used this time, obviously the iRacing has been a big thing, but I've used this time to grow some confidence in myself and work on some things there. And I'm excited to go back racing when we do. I think we'll have a good opportunity to run well. So I don't really know when, but I'm just going to wait until I get the official word, and then I'll work accordingly.
And what kind of challenge will it be on everybody and drivers, the likelihood of, you know, multiple races in a week, with NASCAR still wanting to get all 32 remaining races in, and the challenge, the physical, mental, on a driver, but also for the challenge for the teams, where you could see potential midweek races and 2-3 races a week?
Yeah, it's going to be tough managing your time. The team aspect of things is going to be difficult, because those guys are going to have to turn cars around, and your shop efforts are going to have to be really exceptional to prepare good cars. I think that honestly, for me as a driver, I'm just going to have to manage my time really well. I'm going to have to be in good physical shape, but not be too worn out, training too hard or anything like that. So it's going to be a really fine balance, but you're just going to have to take care of yourself and treat it like it was, I guess, growing up when I would go race 3 or 4 times a weekend in legend cars. Granted, the races weren't as long, but sometimes it was easy to get worn out if it got hot. So I'm definitely going to have to kind of revert back to that.
Our next question will come from Rick Minter at Atlanta Journal.
William, do you know how many iRacing wins you have? And also, what do you remember about the very first iRacing victory you had?
Yeah, I remember, I think I've got quite a few. I don't know between dirt and asphalt really what it is. I've gotten like 12 or 15 dirt wins here recently, but I think that probably pretty up there. But I think, honestly, for me, when I first started, things clicked pretty well. I just had to learn the racecraft. And once I learned kind of how to race better, I think that's what's translated over for me in the real car. Setting up passes and when to be aggressive and whatnot is really what I try to learn. The lap time, everybody can make a pretty good lap time. As you saw in qualifying, the lap times were all pretty close. So, it's just about racecraft and really knowing what to do there.
Do you remember who you beat the first time you raced, you won an iRace?
I have no idea. It's probably either a young kid or an old person. I don't really know. I have no idea. I think it was, you obviously have to work your way up the ranks in iRacing. So it was probably a legend car or something like that.
Claire Lang with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. We'll hear from you next.
Thank you. William, since you're an iRacing pro and back-to-back race winner in this series, can you discuss what you think the eNASCAR Pro Invitational will be like at Talladega next week?
Yeah, it's going to be wild. I think there's honestly going to be some really good racing, though. I think the goal should be to have a couple of resets to keep us all in the game. I'm really actually looking forward to it, because I feel like some guys will be really good at drafting. But at the same time, it's going to be really interesting.
A handful of races, 2 wins into the series. Have you noticed that anybody in the field races you differently than on the real track? And will any of that spill over when you go back to racing?
Honestly, I've learned a couple different guys. Like Timmy, I've never really raced a whole lot. I raced in the legend cars a little bit, but, Ryan Preece races really similar to how he races in the real car. Kyle Busch, all those guys race similar. So I feel like, honestly, I've just learned more of the tendencies that they have, whatever they're racing. So I'm glad I've kind of learned some of those things. And I feel like there's some parallels to draw there. So everyone races, I would say, very similar to what they do in real life.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer with RacingBoys.com.
Congratulations on the win, William. Just curious, if we do indeed go back to racing at Charlotte for the Coca-Cola 600, you won both poles at Charlotte last year. You had a top 10 finish at the Coca-Cola 600. You talked earlier about your confidence. You've built up confidence in this during this off period. How positive would you feel about going into Charlotte for NASCAR's return?
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I think that Chad obviously has a ton of success at Charlotte. And I feel like now that the track at Charlotte has gotten more wear and more abrasive, I feel like that falls into his notes and his wheelhouse of when they ran really well there with the 48 car. So I'm super confident that Chad's going to have a good setup when we go back. And I think honestly, if we can just kind of parlay what we did last spring there, which was a decent top 10 finish. I think we were top five or six in all the stages in the 600 race. And I feel like we ran well. So if we can just work on a couple of things there to have a better car once the track rubbers in really, really aggressively. And once the race really changes and evolves over 600 miles, we should be in good shape. So I'd love to go back there. Really, any of the mile and a half, so I feel like we'd have a good opportunity.
And there's been discussions about skeleton crews, you know, maybe a half dozen guys on each team when we go back to racing initially. How will you have to adapt to, you know, having a smaller workforce surrounding you at the racetrack?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, the ability that we have normally had in practicing and having this conventional string of a schedule throughout a weekend is not going to be there, I don't feel. You know, we're not going to have, unfortunately, not going to have the fans and signing autographs in the normal routine there. So I'm just going to try to make it as normal as possible. I'm really enjoying racing a lot right now. I know it's virtual, but I've been racing, you know, dirt races and asphalt races. So I'm going to try to do that when we still go back racing too. And I think we're going to be racing a lot in general. So I'm looking forward to that.
NASCAR Wire Service. Holly Kane, your line is open. Hello, Holly, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry. Congratulations, William. I just wanted to ask you about the finish and kind of what went through your mind when you knew Timmy Hill was going to be right there coming at you with just a couple laps to go, and really how tightly the two of you have raced these races.
Yeah, he raced me really clean. I was really thankful for that. We've had some good races, honestly. You know, Texas, obviously I was frustrated with Texas, but, you know, if I would have been in his position, I probably would have done the same thing looking back on it. So, yeah, I think he's done a really good job showing how consistent he is. I feel like he's got good race craft, and I enjoy racing with him. I know what to expect when I race with him, that he is going to, you know, use the bumper, and so I just have to race him back that way. And I think we both understand that. So, you know, fortunately I had just enough speed to kind of keep my gap there and win that race.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Zach Sterniolo with the Pocono Record.
Thank you. William, next week's race at Talladega, obviously it's going to be virtual, but it's going to be the first time that NASCAR has had any sort of super speedway event since Ryan Newman's crash at Daytona. Do you feel like having an iRacing event kind of, being the next super speedway event kind of helps cut through any maybe tension or uneasiness about this style of racing that drivers or fans may have in light of what happened at Daytona?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough race. You know, I think virtually you're going to see a lot of aggression and things of that nature. But yeah, I can't really say that, you know, it has any relation to what happened at Daytona recently. But yeah, it's a, you know, super speedway racing is a tough sport in itself. And, you know, it's a lot of risk involved. And, you know, it's just part of it.
And then with today's race, there were a lot more long runs, it seemed like, or at least especially in the middle of the race. How did that affect how you attacked the race and what your pitch strategy was?
Yeah, I wasn't really sure how much of a long run there was going to be, but we definitely had that meaty portion of the race that was a very lengthy run. Made it an easy strategy call to come down and take four tires, which is actually the last time we pitted, but it worked out well to where we could stay out. But yeah, I definitely was intrigued by how long the runs were. I thought everyone did a really good job of studying and practicing, and we had a drivable setup that would allow guys to move around and you know, really to make passes on each other.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Our next question will come today from Mark Garrow with Performance Racing Network.
Thank you. Congratulations, William. Do you think with all the racing that you've done and all the practicing that you've done is going to make you're going to be a little bit sharper than maybe some of these guys when you come back?
I hope so. That's the plan. I hope so for sure. I mean, even for me, I've done more iRacing this time than really I ever have. You know, I've never been on my simulator as much, even though I've been an iRacing advocate for a long time. So, you know, I think that this period of time has really kind of opened my eyes to some new things that I could try and some new methods and things like that. So I'm really excited about that. At the same time, you know, the real car has slight differences here and there. So it'll take some adaptation to get back used to the car. But, you know, I really like the method that we've used during this time. And I just enjoyed kind of having a little bit of pressure on a race and having another way to practice that different than our normal race.
And my other question is, you talked about here on the teleconference, you talked about it on the Fox broadcast about practicing for the bump and run. How do you do that? Do you just kind of park your car a little bit in the corner and just let somebody ram into you? I mean, what's the idea of how do you practice for that?
Yeah, there's definitely a strategy to it. But, I think those things are just things that you learn over time. Honestly, when I was racing short tracks and bull rings, that's kind of the method that it took to be successful. So I guess to kind of revert back to that somewhat. But Timmy raced me really clean today. And, you know, he's obviously done a good job. I think he finished like top three in all the races so far. So that's pretty impressive. And, you know, he's been good.
Barry Richmond with WAKG Piedmont Broadcasting. Please go ahead. Your line is open, sir.
Yes. Congratulations for that second consecutive win, William.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You know, with the success that you've had over the years, even prior to getting into the Cup Series, did you envision iRacing going to the level it has, certainly as a result of something that was so anticipated with the pandemic, but did you ever envision that one day it would be on Fox Network and people would be watching it on a regular basis?
No, definitely not. I mean, it's, you know, like I said, it's taken on a different meaning, even for me, with the pressure that's been added to it and the sponsor coverage and everything like that. So it's taken on a different meaning for sure, but I've enjoyed that. I think it's given me a purpose during this time. Obviously a difficult time for everyone, but it's given me a chance to work on something myself and put myself in some different positions than I've ever been in as well. So very thankful that Fox has done what they've done to promote it. And, you know, I think it's been a great thing overall.
And my second question, when you look at, you know, we talk about the similarities between the iRacing and then at the real track, but is there any difference in keeping the car out of trouble in iRacing versus real on-track racing?
Yeah, I think that there's a little bit of difference in the fact that you have to manage your damage and you have to manage who you make contact with, I guess, and how that works out. You know, it's tough to pass on there, just like it is in real life when everybody's so equal. So really when I was trying to pass Ryan Preece there at the beginning, I just had to do a good job of getting a run on him so that I could get to his inside and kind of show the nose. So it's a tough thing, just like it is in real life, to manage contact and try to set up passes.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch, we're ready for your questions.
Hey, William, congratulations on the win. With the smaller field today and the lack of resets in the field, did you notice a tangible difference with the racing that went on today?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, there was way less intentional contact. People were cleaner and more methodical with the way that they raced. I thought that was a good thing. I thought they were still hard racing, but guys weren't running all over each other for position. So I was really pleased with that. I mean, I don't know what it looked like, honestly, but I was pleased with how the racing was with me, myself, and Ryan Preece and Timmy Hill, and then throughout the field. I thought it was good.
As a follow-up on what we talked about a little bit earlier with the fans, all the experts have said that any sport in this country is going to begin again without fans. Nobody obviously wants that, but how would you as a driver have to adapt to not having your normal environment at the track and fans, whether it be packed stands of 100,000 or just a local short track, they add a lot to the race in general. How would you as a driver adapt to not having them there?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough for sure. The normal routine is going to have to change, and the amount of time that we are at the racetrack is probably going to change too. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that is like. I know that our team on the 24 will do a good job of preparing and adapting to the circumstances. So I'm just looking forward to seeing how that plays out.
Seth Eggert with kickingthetires.net. Your line is open.
Yes, William, you mentioned that you've run some dirt recently. You made your debut in the sprint cars for the World of Outlaws. What are your thoughts on the sprint car?
Oh, I love them. They're really cool. I really enjoy the way that they are, just because you have to adapt lap after lap, and the variance of the track and the way that the car feels is just incredible how much it changes lap after lap. So I've been learning about the setup of those cars too, and just trying to adapt as well as I can. I feel like there's still a lot of room for me to go, but I think there's been some progress there in the last couple of weeks. So I'm excited for whenever that next race is, hopefully Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm excited to run those again.
Is there a specific car and track combo outside of that you prefer?
I'm sorry, it broke up. What did you say in the middle?
Is there a specific car and track combo on iRacing outside NASCAR that you prefer?
I love the I'd say the sprint cars at Eldora are really cool. I've ran them at a couple different tracks. Lime Land's a cool track for them too. So there's a lot of neat ones. I think IndyCar at any track is really cool as well. So there's a lot of great ones out there.
Our next question will come from Noah Lewis with TSJ Sports.
Hey, congrats again, William.
Thank you.
How do you feel about iRacing giving drivers the unlimited wave around today? We saw a lot of wave around guys asking for them, and we saw drivers like Dale Earnhardt Jr. that weren't really impressed by that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting because, you know, you kind of get, you know, a different perspective on it than we have in real life, where you really have in real life the wave arounds are only warranted if you're the lucky dog or if everyone pits in front of you. So it's definitely different, but I think at the same time it's a good thing because it keeps you know, obviously it's not a real race, so it keeps everyone engaged.
Right. And secondly, we saw more retaliation today between DiBenedetto and Priest. Some drivers were even lobbying for a race suspension or just something other than the disqualification, because obviously that hasn't really worked in the past. How do you feel on that?
Yeah, I definitely don't think intentional wrecking is good any time, any race. So definitely not impressed by that, what was done there. So it definitely still doesn't impress me now as it didn't last week. So I don't know what they should do, but I would suggest not doing it.
Next, we'll hear from Jeff Magliacchetti with Elite Sports New York. And I do hope I'm saying your name correctly, Jeff. Go ahead.
Close enough. It's Magliacchetti, but I appreciate it. Hey, William, thanks for joining us. My question is, you've been joined by your teammates on the Pro Invitational Circuit over the past few weeks in Jimmy Johnson and Alex Bowman. How do you think they've adapted to the race? Oh, and Chase Elliott, too, of course, but he's run plenty of iRaces since. So how do you think they've adapted, the new guys in Bowman and Johnson, how do you think they've adapted to the track so far? And is there collaboration between your teammates with this kind of thing, or is there any way to do that?
Yeah, I try to help as much as I can. I think that it's been cool to see those guys running as well. I think it's good for all of Hendrick Motorsports to be doing something during this time. So I try to help when I can for sure. And they seem like they've been enjoying it a little bit. So yeah, it's been good.
And as someone, to follow up on that, as someone who has become kind of a face for the Pro Invitational Series with these back-to-back wins. How does it feel to provide a sense of normalcy for the American sports fan, if only for about 2 hours every weekend?
What is that? Sorry, I missed some of that.
Oh, sure. As you guys are able to run these virtual races, how does it feel to provide a sense of normalcy when all other sports are shut down?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think that it gives us a chance to show the world what racing is all about. Hopefully we're bringing it good coverage and publicity. So, I think it's really cool for us because we are the only sport that's able to do that and realistically show something that we can do. So definitely proud of that right now.
Thank you, William.
Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Jonathan Feld with theracingexperts.com.
Hey, William, congratulations on the win today again. Say, just with, a lot of real-life drivers running the sim, how does the communication look between, like, you and some of the other drivers and iRacing to sort of give feedback and improve the sim?
Yeah, we try to give a lot of feedback week to week. I feel like honestly, each week it's continuing to get better because of that feedback that we've been giving. And Dale Jr. has been a big advocate for that. I feel like he's been one of the biggest. He and Denny Hamlin, Parker Kligerman, those guys have been trying to improve it each week. So really pleased with how that's been going.
And just to follow up too, once real life racing does get back going, how would you feel about doing like an e-pro invitational, like let's say during like the off season, like the December and January months?
Yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, I think there's honestly what I've enjoyed from it is just the variety of racing that I can do, whether it's NASCAR, IndyCar, sprint cars, supercars, whatever it is. There's a lot of cool things that we can do right now. So I'd enjoy doing that throughout the future, honestly. Whether it's NASCAR or whatever it is. So hopefully that can continue.
Peter Strada with TSJ Sports. Your line is open, sir.
Yes, William, congratulations on the win again. And would you like to
see
if Coke Series drivers included in some aspect of iRacing alongside real-life professionals such as yourself?
Yeah, it'd be really cool to have some of those guys come in the race. I think they're obviously very good, and I get a chance to race against them sometimes during the week. So it's cool to race against them. I think for now, though, it gives some, our guys a chance to shine, and it's good to keep them separate and kind of give each one their individual show per se. So I think it's been really good so far.
And NASCAR has said they want to keep the Pro Invitational Series going beyond the break of the virus. How do you think that'll look once real racing resumes?
I think that it's going to be interesting for sure. I think right now this is working really well during the time being, so we're just going to continue doing it until we get back.
And that's all the questions we have in the queue at this time. William, thanks for taking some time out of your afternoon today after the big win. I'll turn it back to Amanda for some additional and closing remarks.
William, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And thank you to all the media for joining us as well. A transcript of this teleconference along with audio files will be available later today on NASCARmedia.com. If you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to reach out to anyone on the NASCAR communications staff. We wish you well, and we look forward to seeing you all again soon. Have a great day.